Part 4. Love is a crocodile in the river of desire. The Night Zoo. Rashida. I look into my daughter's eyes, and I hate them. It's not because they're not beautiful. They're colored a lovely deep brown. And when the sunlight catches them just so, I see flecks of gold. No, I don't hate them because of their color. I hate them because they don't belong to me or to my husband. Those eyes are unmistakably, undeniably the cobra's. No doubt, if I stood my daughter beside her, some might even think Kofi was her child. Mama! My heart skips a beat as I catch Kofi grinning at me. There is an admiration and a love in that look I never want to lose a single piece of. Can we go? There was a time when I was like her, when I looked forward to market days. I cast around our tiny home, at the welcome mat that's too worn and the curtains that are too tattered. Kofi doesn't see any of those things. She just sees home. She doesn't know that it won't be our home for much longer. 1 minute, little Ponya seed, I say as sweetly as I can. Just a moment. I pop my head into my bedroom and eye Lesego. He is sitting in the room, surrounded by boxes. When he feels my gaze, he looks up at me and offers a small smile. This is just about it, he says with a sigh. The new buyers have agreed to take everything here, so we won't have to worry about carrying anything. We'll stay the night, then leave in the morning. So we won't have to worry. He speaks as though we have a choice in leaving our things behind. I bite back the words I want to say, and nod instead. I'm going to take Kofi to the market with me. I still have a few last-minute errands to do before our appointment. All right, I'll be here. He stands and, in the length of a few strides, crosses the room to take my hand in his. He kisses the back of it and meets my gaze. I love you, Rashida. You too. His eyes dim just slightly, and a familiar guilt pulls in the pit of my stomach. But I ignore it. I still love Lesego. But there are days I'm not so sure I'm in love anymore. I don't know how to say those kinds of words aloud, so I say nothing at all. Mama! We look up as Kofi's voice brings us back to the present. I peck Lesego's cheek a final time before forcing a smile and going to find Kofi. She's standing in the front door's frame, looking impatient.
Let's go, Mama.
I take her hand and leave the house, closing the door quietly behind us. Kofi doesn't keep hold of my hand for long. I remember how, when she was first learning to walk, she used to take hold of the hem of my dress when she was trying to stand. She squeezed the worn fabric tight in her fist with a determination I admired. But she doesn't do that anymore. Now she walks and runs on her own, looking over her shoulder less and less. It's a beautiful thing, and a terrifying thing, watching her become an entire person before my eyes. I was so scared when I learned I was carrying her, but I'm starting to believe that was the easy part. When Kofi was inside me, we were inextricably attached, her heart beating alongside mine. Now she is outside in the world, feeling, growing, living. And so, too, a piece of me is out in the world, exposed, fragile.
Mama, look!
Kofi stops her funny waddle run to look back at me. Her tiny pink tongue protrudes from her lips as she squints in concentration and wiggles her fingers. I tense as I see tiny flickers of light hover around her hands. Kofi! The smile drops from her face as I run to close the gap between us and close my hand over hers. Don't do that again. Do you hear me? Kofi frowns.
Why, Mama?
Because, I pause, searching for the right words. Because it's a bad thing. Kofi cocks her head, and the gesture is so reminiscent of my mother that I have to resist cringing.
But it doesn't feel like a bad thing.
It is. I snatch her hand again and lead her down the road. It'll go away, a voice in my head assures me. It's just a phase. It won't last. She's not like Mama. She's not a Daraja. She can't be. I repeat those words to myself until my heartbeat steadies again. She's not a Daraja. She can't be. I don't want to think about what it means if I'm wrong. Kofi tugs at my arm as we move through the market's winding streets, but I keep her close to me. This place used to bring me so much joy when I was a little girl, and even when I was a young woman, but that's gone now. I pass one of the shops I used to visit as a teenager, one of the ones Naya introduced me to when we were younger. Grief stabs in my chest when I think of my old friend. It's been a year since her body was found along the greater jungle's edge, since she was killed by the creature they called the Shaitani. I know she wouldn't have wanted me to, but I pushed two shabas into her palms before they wrapped her in her shrouds, tokens for her to pay her way into the next life. I miss her all the time. We move through the market quickly and carefully. People are murmuring that there's been another attack by the Shaitani, and the news fills the streets with a palpable sense of anxiety. I've heard some say that Darajas are to blame for it, that the few who remain in the city are the ones summoning it from the jungle. Even though I know it's not true, I don't correct them anymore. There are barely any Darajas left in Lakosa. The ones who used to live here are gone, hiding, or dead. Kofi skips and stumbles beside me as I near the grocer's cart. In my head, I'm preparing a speech. We don't have the money for you this time, but Lisego has a potential new job. He'll have the full amount soon. I swallow a lump in my throat as we approach the grocer and draw myself up to full height. He is a wizened man with a nose that reminds me of a squashed tomato. As soon as his eyes find me in the crowd, they narrow. I stop before him.
Do you have the rest of the money? He asks.
I take a deep breath. Not yet, but I wanted to let you know that it's coming really, really soon. Lisego might have a new job offer. Pfft. The grocer is already shaking his head. He waves my words away with a dismissive hand.
Don't bother with yet another excuse, girl. I know I'm never getting that money back. I should never have loaned it to your good-for-nothing husband in the first place. I trust Lisego as far as I can throw him.
The insult isn't for me, but I wince anyway. Wait! I open the flap of my shoulder bag and dig around. I can't cover Lisego's full debt today, but I can put something toward it. My fingers search the contents of the bag until they reach the cloth at its very bottom, and my heart sinks to my stomach. My coin purse is gone. I look around, wondering if in my distraction I was pickpocketed. But no. As soon as that thought comes to mind, I know the truth. My bag and my coin purse stay in my house under the slip of my pillow. And only one person knows that. Lisego. He wouldn't see it as stealing. He probably hadn't even meant to. He forgets to tell me things sometimes. Borrows money for his business and doesn't remember to tell me. But he's my husband. What's mine is his. What's his is mine. We're married, which means we share everything. But that now means I have no money at all, not even for stale bread.
What's wrong, Mama?
My heart pinches at Kofi's wide, worried eyes. The grocer watches us, waiting. Tears burn in my eyes, but I blink them away before she can see. Nothing, Poignaseed. I don't meet the grocer's eye as I mutter, "We'll come back later." It takes every bit of control I have to stay calm as I steer her away from the grocer and into the moving crowds of people. This day can't get any worse. We're almost to the end of the market when I hear it. At first, I'm sure it's my imagination, but then, no, I hear it again. My name. Binti. No, it can't be. Not here. I swivel, looking over my shoulder while simultaneously trying to herd Kofi forward, but then my eyes lock on her face. Mama. My mother is pushing through the crowd as fast as she can, moving against the waves of people. Binti! Binti! Wait! No, a memory returns to me. A day not so long ago when I let my mama meet Kofi. It took minutes for her to start badgering me, to start warning me that Kofi could be a Daraja like her. I cannot allow Kofi to hear things like that. I cannot allow them to meet again. Binti! My mother is dangerously close now. She probably can't see my daughter, who's too short, but she will in a moment. I do the only thing I can think to do. I turn and kick the leg out from one of the fruit stalls. A cascade of melons tumbles out onto the street, and people move and shuffle to get out of the way as the vendor bemoans his ruined produce. It's the momentary distraction I need. Quickly, I haul Kofi away. I can still see my mother, neck craning as she tries to find us, looking in the wrong direction. My heart pounds like a drum with each step we take away from her. And I imagine what she could do to me if our eyes met. Maybe she'd make me stop walking, make me give Kofi over to her. A worse thought crosses my mind. What if she uses her powers against Kofi, makes her leave me? I hurry my steps.
Mama, Mama, ow, you're hurting me.
Huh? I look down, dazed. My grip around my daughter's arm is vice-like, painfully tight. She is scowling up at me with a ferocity that reminds me so much of my mother that I want to back away from her. Immediately, I release her. Sorry, little one. I force myself to smooth her hair, to sound calm. I just didn't want to get caught up in all that mess. That's okay, Mama, says my daughter breezily. She's already forgiven me, and I don't deserve it. I forgot my money, I lie. We'll have to do our shopping another time.
All right, Mama.
My daughter looks over her shoulder, visibly puzzled.
Mama, who was that woman calling us?
I stiffen. What woman?
The nice lady, my daughter presses. The one who followed us.
I grab hold of her hand. There was no woman, Kofi.
There was! Kofi struggles to keep up with me. Why did she call you that name, Mama?
She confused me with someone else. I say nothing more as I pull her along, trying to keep my face smooth. Sweat dampens the neckline of my dress. A dizziness threatens my vision, and I want to vomit. I keep imagining my mother coming toward me. My mother, who's never met my daughter. My mother, who I haven't seen in 4 years.
Who was she, Mama?
Nobody, I whisper. Nobody at all. By the time we return home, Lesego is waiting outside the door. He waves and I return the gesture, careful not to look at the sign nailed to what was once our front door. Sold. That single word makes it all feel that much more real.
How'd your errands go? Lesego
asks. Kofi looks to me, uncertain, but I shake my head. Fine, I say, as I let go of her hand and let her run to her father. It was fine.
Good.
Lesego turns his focus from me to Kofi. He crouches down so that they are level with each other before giving her a serious look.
Are you ready, Kofi?
Ready for what, Baba?
Me, you, and Mama are going on a little adventure, he says.
A string in my heart tweaks as she lets him take her hand and squeeze. She trusts him entirely.
It's going to be lots of fun.
What kind of adventure? Kofi asks.
I watch Lesego carefully then. He has yet to tell me how he plans to explain things to Kofi. But Lesego meets my gaze only for a moment before, without warning, he lifts Kofi up and plops her onto his shoulders. She shrieks in delight.
That's the surprise,
he says, pretending to tickle her sides. Let's go. Lesego leads the way, with Kofi on his shoulders, until we reach the start of the Kazi district. My heart pangs as I look up and down its streets. The time in my life in which my mother and I lived here is so long ago now that sometimes it doesn't even feel real anymore. For a moment, I have the strangest temptation to keep going up the road and follow the path back to what was once our home. I stamp it out as Lesego stops before one of the smaller and shabbier buildings on the main road. Judging by the dimness of the windows, it's empty. I look to Lesego, confused. Are you sure this is the right place? Lesego nods.
He told me to meet him here after noon.
Lesego shrugs. That's now.
A few more minutes pass before I discern a figure coming toward us from down the road. His features are difficult to see against the afternoon sunlight, but I'm immediately sure that this man is bigger than any I have ever seen. His robes swish around his ankles as he lumbers forward. When he catches sight of us, his steps falter.
Can I help you?
His voice is gruff.
Next to me, Lesego suddenly sounds unsure.
Hello. My name is Lesego. You and I met a few days ago. You told me to come here to discuss employment opportunities.
The man takes a step closer, and now I can see him more clearly. He has blonde-dyed dreadlocks that fall to his elbows, and paunchy brown skin that has almost certainly seen better days. He stares between us a moment, frowning, as though trying to recall such a conversation. Then,
ah, yes, Lesego, of course. Please forgive my momentary lapse. Of course I've been expecting you.
He looks up at Kofi.
And this must be your little one, and,
he turns to me,
your lovely wife, Bashida.
Rashida.
My name is Baz Muntombe,
he says quickly.
Right this way. Sorry, if you just allow me to get around you.
He squeezes past us and pulls a key from his pocket to open the door of the building we're still standing in front of. There's a bit of maneuvering and then he gestures, welcoming us in. The interior of Boz's shop isn't much more promising than its exterior. In fact, I'm not even sure it is his shop at all. The room Lesego and I enter is sparsely furnished, with only a small round table and chairs in varying states of disrepair set in the middle of the room. Baz takes a seat first, and I notice he takes the best of the three chairs for himself.
Please, he says, sit.
Carefully, Lesego lifts Kofi from his shoulders and hands her to me. Kofi looks nervous now, but I take her and hold her in my arms. Then Lesego and I both sit.
Now, Baz begins, I appreciate you both coming to speak with me today. I've already had some introductory conversations with Lesego, and he tells me that you...
Poo-poo head,
Kofi shouts, glaring at Baz. Lesego and I exchange a look of horror before I turn to my daughter.
Kofi, what's wrong with you?
Apologies, sir, Lesego says quickly. She's only 5, still learning. Quite all right. Quite all right,
Baz says. He offers Kofi a smile, but
but I notice it doesn't quite reach his eyes.
Children will be children.
In answer, Kofi gives him a withering look so reminiscent of my mother that I nearly choke. Even Boz seems unsettled for a moment before he addresses both of us again.
Lasego, Bashira. I want to get right to the point, he says. I know that the two of you are facing financial hardship, and I do feel for your situation.
Financial hardship. When he says the words aloud, there is no longer a place for me to hide from their reality. I feel myself getting smaller by the second.
What I'm offering you is fairly straightforward.
Boz withdraws a slightly wrinkled bit of yellow parchment from his bag, straightens it, then places it on the table before us. Text covers most of the page in a tiny font, but my eyes fix on the bolded words written in swooping red calligraphy at the very top. Boz Ntombe's legendary night zoo.
The arrangement is simple, he says. First, I will give you the money you need to pay off your debts in full.
I look up sharply.
In full?
In full, Boz repeats. Lesego tells me your debts total about 50,000 dabus at the present. That's a sum easy enough to make disappear.
My heart is pounding now, and even Lesego looks visibly excited.
In exchange, you will sign agreements promising to pay back the debt I have resolved on your behalf. You will not have to pay me monetarily, but through fair labor at my zoo. I'm in need of maintenance workers, sometimes called beastkeepers, to maintain the grounds and occasionally tend to the animals I keep there.
I pause. Are the animals at the zoo safe?
Oh, absolutely.
Boz offers me a smile that I'm sure is supposed to be friendly, but all I can focus on is the too bright glint of his golden incisors.
These are generally tame, domesticated beasts. If you've ever looked after a dog or cat, you'll have all the expertise you need.
When neither Lesego nor I immediately answer, he adds,
Additionally, we offer on-site training and support for new employees.
Lesego nods, but now I have questions. Before I can go on, Boz continues.
I always want to ensure that those who work for me feel valued, and so, in addition to employment, you'll be provided with lodging and 3 meals each day, provided you complete each day's minimum work requirement.
What about our daughter? I cut in. She's 5 years old. I want her to have an education, not just work all day.
Boz gives me a placating look. Of course, Bashira. I understand your concern. You certainly will have time after work to give your little one as much education as you'd like.
It's not the answer I was hoping for, but Lesego gives me a reassuring pat on the small of my back.
We really appreciate your offer, Bwana Muntombe.
Lesego says,
It sounds like a promising opportunity. If my wife and I could just have some time to consider. Oh, I'm afraid that's not possible.
Boz smiles again.
There are other applicants who are just as interested as you and your wife. I can give you a few minutes to discuss, but... You'll need to make a decision this afternoon.
Oh. I watch Lesego falter.
I see. Well, then, could we just have a moment to discuss? Of course.
Boz clap.
I'll give you 5 minutes to yourself.
He rises and moves to the other end of the room. I realize it is as much privacy as we can expect, and lean in to Lesego. My love, I don't know about this. I whisper at a volume I hope Boz can't hear. We haven't had much time to read over this. I gesture to the contract again. The print somehow looks even smaller and harder to read now. It seems like a lengthy commitment.
It won't be,
Lasego smiles. Just until we pay off the debts. When you multiply the hourly wage by the hours in a day, we'll have that paid off in no time at all. I look down at Kofi in my arms. Her eyes are barely open now. And something pulls in my chest at the sight of her so vulnerable. I look up and meet Lasego's gaze. Are you sure this is the right thing to do? Lasego nods. This is the fastest way to pay off the debts, Rashida, he says. The only other options are not exactly above board. He doesn't have to say more for me to understand. There are, of course, other ways to make a lot of money fast, but none that are legal. I've spent my whole life trying to separate myself from things like that. I won't stop now. All right, I nod slowly. Then let's do it. Lasego stands, takes my head in both his hands, and kisses my forehead. This is our fresh start, he murmurs against my skin. You'll see, things will get better. With all my heart, I want to believe his words. I just can't explain the sinking feeling as Lasego turns to where Boz is standing. Boz, Lasego calls. When Boz turns around to face him, he corrects himself. Buona Muntombe. My wife and I, we've made our decision. We accept your offer. Excellent, Boz says, approaching us with a quill and ink. Just sign here. We rise the next morning at dawn. There is a quiet in the air as we prepare the last of our things, tying up boxes we will not take and folding clothes we will never wear again. As of today, this house is no longer ours. This is our last morning in it. I start to gather the last remnants of our food, a few scraps of bread, and some fruit that hasn't quite expired. But Lasego puts his hand over mine. We won't need it, he says brightly. Boz said 3 square meals a day. I hesitate, then put the food down.
Mama?
Kofi stumbles as she walks from our bedroom to me, still rubbing sleep from her eyes.
Where are we going?
I brave a small smile and scoop her up into my arms. Do you remember how yesterday Baba said we were going on an exciting new adventure? I take a deep breath. Well, it's finally time for that adventure to start.
Oh.
For several seconds, Kofi says nothing. She rests her head against my shoulder, and I can't see her face. Another moment passes before she says,
Mama, I'm sleepy.
I know, Ponya Seed.
Can I go back to sleep?
Not right now, sweetie. Since we are not taking any of our possessions per our contract, we are ready to leave in just a few more minutes' time. Outside, Lasego leaves the key to our home under the front door's mat, then turns to me. There is excitement in his eyes, the look he always gets before he begins any new venture. We should head off, he said. Boz says work begins at sunrise. He treks ahead of me, walking down the road in quick, jaunty steps. I'm less eager to go. I have the uncanny feeling that it will be some time before I walk this road again. In my arms, Kofi squirms against my chest.
Will it be fun, Mama?
Her head tilts to meet my gaze as she asks her question.
The new adventure?
The most fun. I once thought there was no taste worse than that of hunger. I understand now that lying to my daughter is far worse. Satisfied, Kofi tucks her head back under my chin and nuzzles into my neck. I feel her heartbeat fluttering against my own. Perhaps she is as nervous as I am. Lasego and I do not speak as we leave Greater Lakosa, but I feel its buildings watching my passage.
The air is dry even now, the prelude to a day that I'm sure will be full of relentless heat. It occurs to me that, as much as Boz told us about our jobs, I have no idea what his premises actually look like. I hope there is some shade.
We're almost there, says Lesego, pointing. We're out of the city now, and up ahead, on a hill, I make out the bleary image of what looks like a walled brick fortress.
Mama?
Kofi's tiny voice hums against my neck. That place looks scary. I know, sweetheart. I comb my hand over her head. But I promise it'll be fine. You're going to like it. She doesn't say anything as we keep walking. We'll have fun. You'll see. I'm not sure if I'm saying the words for her or for myself. And we'll be safe there. Safe. I wrap that word around me like armor as my steps quicken. Safe. I cling to that word like it's my last hope, because, in truth, it is. Safe. I sheathe that word like a weapon as I square my shoulders and approach the towering front gates of the Night Zoo.